What is going on, men? It's your boy, Crimson. I was cruising around today, and my brain does what it always does. It disagrees with a lot of you guys. And it sucks, it never goes with the grain, it never wants to follow the fucking beaten path. Because there is a lot of exploring to do. There's a lot of... Every time I go down the beaten path, some shit always fucking gets in the way. Some shit is always, it's always there to, it's always there to fuck with me. And it all started, remember a long time ago I told you guys a story about a chick who just kept checking me out and her fucking husband was like, the cook? Yeah, well, she did it again. I got some food, I ordered, and there was a boy, a young man, who was taking orders, and immediately, she fucking ran over to the counter, started taking my order as soon as I got in. And I thought it was kind of weird. And I just asked her, you know, what kind of specials they had for the day. And she told me, and I ordered one. And I said, hey, can I ask you a question? Do you have a husband or a boyfriend or some kind of like engagement or something? And she said, yeah, I have a husband. And I said, then why are you so eager to look at me, to talk to me, to, you know, engage with me? And it was like I broke the spell. Like whatever little fucking enchantment she was going through, I managed to break in that one instant because she pretended like she had no idea what was going on. And then immediately she just took my order, took my card, ran it through. She was just being rude at that point. And I just looked at her like, you just changed, right? And she held out my card, and I'm looking dead at her in the eyes. And I just started to just see right through her soul. Like, I caught her. I caught her in the act. And there was no fucking escaping. She put my card down on the counter, tore a receipt, and fucking gave me a dirty look. And then she put the pen down. And as she started to walk away, I grabbed my card, I put my card in my wallet, and I just started to turn around and walk away. And she's like, you need to sign the receipt. And I said, I don't need to do anything. I don't need to do anything. And I just gave her the same fucked up look that she gave me. Like, you really want to play this fucking game with me? We can play at that game. I'm good at it. So, I left it at that. I grabbed my food. I took the receipt that I needed to sign and I walked the fuck out. And in that moment, you know, I'm like, fuck, dude, this food is so good. For as cheap as it is, like, the price is pretty decent. Do I want to deal with this bullshit? This fucking woman who won't admit that she has a crush on me? That she's fucking constantly eye-fucking me every time I come in there. She has a husband who owns the restaurant. They're making tons of money a day. Right next door, they just opened up a gym. A boxing academy. And this is a legit academy. One of the guys is British. He's a boxer. You know, world-class champion. And, he's still fighting till this day. And the other guy, he's an amateur boxer. He's an amateur he's an amateur professional. And he's thinking about retiring early because he's just like, dude, I just don't have the dog in me anymore. I just don't want to do this shit. But I would love to train. I love training and I love teaching others. So I think that's what I'm going to do. And I just looked at him like, holy fuck, you know, that's a great story. It is. To me, it's one of self-awareness. So in any case, I'm going through this, right? I'm listening to this. I'm understanding this. And I noticed that there's like a nice symbiotic relationship between both of them. Because after people work out, they go next door and they buy the food. Or they buy the food to get the calories up. And then they go in, they come out, and then they go next door and get the food. So there's a constant rotation of people. And that place is jam-packed. It's fucking packed. And I can tell that it's still not enough. Her husband is 6 foot tall. No, he's like a 6 foot, 6 foot eight. She has kids with them. She has all this stuff, and she's still not fucking happy. She's still not happy with what she has. Why is that? If hypergamy, in its root, then there should be a cap, and that's what hypergamy is. They date up, and now that she's dated up, why is she so unhappy? It's because hypergamy doesn't exist. Hypergamy is a phantom. It's bullshit. I'll tell you what it really is. But first, you have to go on a journey with me in order for me to explain. You see, back in the day when your boy Jackie was working for himself at age 19, the one thing I noticed is that money to me, I was happy with what I had. I was making 10 grand a month. That was more than what my fucking peers were making. Far more than what my peers were making. I went to a Blockbuster one time when it was open. Got some videos and somebody asked me what I was doing for a living. And I just looked at him and I was like, I'm gun running. They're like, what the fuck? Like, how'd you get into that? I'm like, well, you start off with one gun and then you sell it. Then you buy another one and then you sell that one. And then you buy two and you sell those. And then you buy three and then you sell those. And you just kind of do that over and over again. And they're like, what the fuck? And I was like, nah, I'm just fucking with you, dude. I work from home. They're like, oh. Like, dude, that's even better than, that's even better, dude. Like, how did you get that sweet-ass job? I'm looking at my stepdad, and I'm just like, you trained me. And he's like, fuck, dude, can you train me? And he's like, you know, maybe someday. And started laughing, right? So me and my stepdad were talking about this, and he's like, do you understand how fortunate you are? Do you really get how fortunate you are to having a job that you can work from home? And I'm like, you know, I didn't in the beginning, but now I realize the importance. Now I realize the importance of I realize the importance of what you've taught me. Is that if you listen and you invest, you're going to get rewarded. And yeah, I do see how fucking lucky I am, because I could be working a dead-end job like that. I'm very lucky. And that's where it ended. My stepdad, he was always so fucking, he's always laughing because he's like, you're happy with 10 grand a month. And I'm like, dude, and I'm like, well, yeah, dude, that's more than I can spend. I can't spend 10 grand a month. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, don't you want to have a nice car and all this? I was like, nah, I'll just rent it. There's no point in having it if I could just rent it. And that was right when I got into my car accident. So to me, it was like, well, if I'm going to fucking get it, my mom's going to take it and destroy it. My dad's going to take it and destroy it. Fucking God himself, like, doesn't matter how great the insurance is, if God himself is going to intervene, take it and destroy it. By the way, the car that I had was a Toyota 1992 Celica all-wheel drive twin turbo, four-cylinder. It had tiny turbos, so don't think that they were like fucking T1s or something. T1s are the model of booster. They're fucking enormous, but they're like almost made for diesel engines, kind of. But yeah, to me, $10,000 was more than enough. $10,000 was fucking a ridiculous amount of money. So I did that, right? I made $10,000 every month until I lost my business. And when I lost my business, I was fucking devastated. And by that time, my stepdad, he was about to sell his business, and he was making $35,000. And he was crushed because he's like, dude, I've never made that much money before in my life. He's like, fuck, I need more. This is where it begins, man. This is where that hypergamy bullshit that I was telling you about, this is where it begins and where it ends. You know Bill Gates, right? Of course you know Bill Gates. You're fucking smart enough to know that. He's the guy who went over to Epstein's Island and pretended like he was never friends with him. He's the guy who tried to force us to take fucking shots, who invested millions of fucking dollars into these black projects trying to fucking poison us. Stole tons and tons of software and technology and just rebranded it as Windows. People pioneer this fucking faggot. I don't know why. But people love to fucking pioneer this fucking homosexual. He's a piece of shit. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that I wanted to explain. He himself said so himself. By his very own words, he said, it's never enough. He can donate all the money in the world, and guess what? All that money goes back to him, and it's still not enough. He can make billions of dollars every year, and it's still not enough. To the Rockefellers, to the fucking, what are they called? The Rothschilds. BlackRock, Enron is a perfect example of that. We as human beings can never get enough. It's never enough. When you reach a pinnacle, you want to go higher and higher. Even Navy SEALs will tell you this. Right when you reach the pinnacle of your success, it's like, what else can I do? What else? What else is greater out there? What else is better out there? What else? How can I become this? How can I become that? Same thing with bodybuilding. You can never be big enough. Same thing with those guys at the Island of Man with motorcyclists. You can never go fast enough. The more you fucking push the limits, the faster you want to go. Astronauts will fucking tell you the same thing. It is embedded in our fucking DNA to say it's not enough. I'm just a fucking rare breed that's like, I've seen enough. I've heard enough. I've had enough. I've been through enough. I've gone through enough. I have enough. I'm rare. When it comes to ice cream, I'm that way. When it comes to drinking, I'm that way. When it comes to life and problems and struggle, I'm that way. But to these fucking people, these selfish cocksuckers, they've never had enough. So I ask you, what do you call those people that chase success? Do you call them successful? Would you call Andrew Tate successful? In my judgment, that guy's the ultimate fucking simp. The ultimate simp. Because after all that money that he gets, and he gets his fucking, he gets all that fucking money, right? Does he give it back to the fans, the people that brought him up to that pinnacle of success? Of course not. The fuck would he do that for? He figures out a way how to spend that money as irresponsibly as possible. He said so himself. He literally explained this. You know, there's people out in Catalina Island, right? The way he explains his Bugatti is the same way that the car market in Catalina works. You buy a car, but you're not allowed to have that car on the island for at least 10 years. So guess what? A lot of those guys that do finally get their car, and you're only allowed to drive those cars in certain paths. Can't drive them everywhere. It's forbidden. They have those little like Tokyo taxi trucks, and those fuckers are expensive. They're like 15 grand. And they have mechanic shops that are specialized in fixing those. But dude, this guy, he got a Camaro. Remember like the first generation Camaro? And dude, he drove it like a supercar down the streets of Catalina Island. Almost wrecking into people and shit. Just carelessly driving his fucking antiquated car when literally on the continent itself, if you were to just go, you know, to Long Beach Port, you'd see like a newer model that goes faster with the Z10 engine and shit. Mach 1 fucking crazy ass Cobra Jet engine. Cobra Jet engines don't go into... they don't go into Corvettes or Camaros. I'm just trying to prove a point. So you gotta wait years to have that car, and then they drive it irresponsibly, and guess what? They gotta get another car. That itch to fiend starts to dig in, and they're waiting to wait another 10 years rather than just move off the fucking island and go into America. Well, technically Catalina Island is a part of America, but that's not the point I'm trying to make. Rather than just live on the continent so that they can ride whatever the fuck they want, they'd rather drive like shit and on an island. And the fines over there are hefty. You gotta understand, it's an island, so to have things imported in there, It's a 75% markup. So a bottle of Jack Daniels is easily $80. It's insane. Unless you're a resident there. If you're a resident there, you get a 60% discount. But it's still pretty fucking expensive. Everything is paid in favors, and the favors, you know, and the payment is always in the form of alcohol, so you're always fucking drunk there. But it's never enough for those motherfuckers. It's never enough. So I'm trying to tell you, for that chick that I was, you know, at the restaurant with, it wasn't enough that her husband was successful already. It wasn't enough that her husband had a nice business. He had a nice car for her. I'm assuming a nice house, you know, four kids that are all working together. It wasn't enough. why? Why isn't it enough? Why isn't it enough? It's not enough because there's no excitement. The thrill, the chase, that's not there. Stability's there. But the chase, that'll always trump success, struggle, and stability. That's why. You see, hypergamy doesn't exist to me because there's no fucking ceiling. There's no container. There's no peak in which you could say, here is the limit. Does that make sense? There's no fucking ceiling where you could say, this is what the model of this looks like. It's just monkey branching. It's monkey branching to the better man, to the better chase, to the better excitement. There's no hypergamy involved. She could fucking date a loser as long as he gets her blood pumping. She would fucking immediately jump on him. And guess what? The guy could fucking have nothing, absolutely nothing, other than a big dick and a silver tongue. That's it. And you and I both know that. Well, what is your evidence to prove all this? Look at all the fucking movie stars that have gotten divorced. I can't even believe Steve Harvey's going to sit there with 3 divorces under his belt talking about... It just goes to show he's the mega simp. And Andrew Tate is part of that fucking brigade. Because Andrew Tate has all this fucking money, gives none of it back to his fans, gives bullshit advice that you could easily either learn from a book, listen from experience, or go through your own fucking school of hard knocks. There's nothing profound about what Andrew Tate is saying. It is literally like listening to a goddamn kindergartner talk. The color blue, you know, is in the sky. That kind of bullshit. We all know that if you go through nothing hard in life, you will never appreciate anything easy in life. That's what's going on with these chicks. It's like Terrence Pop just came out with the video. You know, women that chase fun. Well, if you chase fun for the rest of your life, guess what? It's never going to be enough. You guys know that. So what do you call these girls that are constantly chasing fun? What would you call them? I actually want to know. I don't have a word for it. Because it's not thrill-seeking. There's nothing thrilling about getting fucked up at a backyard party or getting smashed by some fucking random stranger who might have an STD. That's fucking frightening. But these women are willing to put their fucking... They're willing to put themselves in that position in the pursuit of fun. And they're like, dude... We just want to be able to go out and have fun. And it's like, no, the danger is part of the fun. Without the danger, there is no fun. And they know that. The gamble. That's why I don't like going out, is because there's no fucking thrill there. You go out, you fucking, like what? You meet a couple people? How many of those chicks are going to fuck you? So my point is that, look, if a woman dated me and found you attractive, she would leave me. She would go for you. And if she dated you and came across Andrew Tate, she would go for Andrew Tate and leave you. And if she came across Bill Gates, she would leave Andrew Tate and go to Bill Gates. If she fucking found the Rockefellers, she would leave the Rockefellers and go to the Rockefellers. If she came across the King of England, she would leave the Rockefeller and go to the King of England. Who comes after the King of England? God. And guess what? God is the ultimate provider. He is the ultimate creator. He is the ultimate safety net. He is the ultimate teacher. He is everything that a woman on paper would ever want. He is the teacher, the Alpha, the Omega, the source of all of our fucking, of our lives. And she would still leave him to be with the devil. And once she leaves him to go be with the thrill, the devil, guess what? There's nowhere else to go. That's the apex. Someone who's going to abuse her and kill her and hurt her, manipulate her, lie to her, destroy her, and she will stay with him forever. Why? Because of the thrill. There's no such thing as hypergamy. She didn't go up. She didn't even go across. She went down. Hypergamy doesn't exist. It is within the moment of what that woman wants, and that's it. She could immediately wake up the next morning and say, you know what, I want to change my taste in men. I want to change my taste in music. I want to change my taste in this, my taste in that. Because that's just who they are. They need to fit in. They need to blend in. They need to be a part of the American experience. Which is excitement. Nothing more. Once the consequence and the drama has died down, how many times have you seen those relationships work out where a woman gets caught cheating? Does she stay with the guy? Of course not. She despises him because the fucking thrill's gone. The narcissistic supply is fucking gone. It happened with my ex. She was with that guy for 4 fucking years and she only had sex with him a handful of times. And trust me when I say this, men, I know she wasn't lying. I can fucking, dude, she despised this motherfucker. And she was still with him for 4 years. And when I asked her, then if you hated him, then why the fuck were you with him? She said it was because of his daughter. He would manipulate her into being with him for the daughter, right? Like, hey, I have a daughter, don't kick me out. Don't throw me out. Like, you put me in this position, don't throw me out, right? So she felt obligated to fucking take him in. She's like, okay, get your shit together. Like, go get a job. And then she would fall in love with the routine all over again. And then she would go back and forth from, like, yo-yoing from loving him to hating him. And she's like, I hated this motherfucker because he never wanted to fucking hold down a job. He never wanted to work. And I just looked at her and I was like, no, you hated him because he wasn't me. And she looked at me and she just looked like she was in shock. I remember she looked down at her hand and she's like, why the fuck did I get his name tattooed on me? And I said, because you were desperately trying to get him to be me and he wasn't. You should have just stayed with me. The pain wasn't going to last for fucking ever. As a matter of fact, it's like, dude, that's right when the fucking, believe it or not, that's when the fucking relationship starts to turn better. It's because we're not bitching at each other anymore. We're not yelling at each other anymore. We're just tired of fucking hearing each other. Then it starts to taper down and then we start to get along again. But she didn't see it that way. So she left. As soon as it started to get harder, she left. And guess what? As soon as she fell out of love because the excitement was gone, and she tried to, like, you know, she thought that she was going to come back or I was going to try to reach out to her, and she was already going to be moved on, and it was going to sting. That's what kept the excitement going. But when I never called, when I showed pictures that I moved on, when people were talking to her and saying, like, dude, he's a part of the Proud Boys, he's tree climbing, he's doing all this great shit, she was fucking devastated because I had moved on. Not only did I move on, I didn't need another woman to jump on to do it. And that's what fucking killed her even more. I was a man of fucking conviction. So she looks at the guy that she's with and she realizes he's a piece of shit, and guess what? She dropped his ass like a bad habit. She was like, dude, I was just using you to try to get back at my ex. She admitted all this, by the way. Like, when she came to the revelation, she's like, I didn't realize I didn't love him. I just didn't want him in my life anymore. And that was it. She just changed her mind. Same way that she came to the conclusion that we could no longer be together is the same way that she fucking came to the conclusion that those two could no longer be together. What do you call that? Bipolar? Oh, it was just a change of character? What, every fucking 4, 3, 2 years? It's insanity. So hypergamy doesn't exist, dude. But it doesn't exist. I mean, what I mean is that it doesn't exist. Therefore, the problem doesn't exist. No, the problem exists. But it's not hypergamy. Because hypergamy, you have to settle. Did you ever see those graphs? What does it show? It shows that a woman goes across, slightly above, higher than above, and then all the way to the top, doesn't it? But it's just one man. It stops at the one fucking man. At the one volley. It doesn't continue on. On the picture, it just shows one dude. And then it goes up and up and up and up, and guess what? Does it stop at the highest fucking man? Of course not. Sometimes it goes all the way back the fuck down, doesn't it? Or sometimes it goes all the way across where she's fucking like tens of how many fucking videos have you seen of these women that, like, the women, or what was that study that was done? Even when women date the highest value men, they still manage to cheat. So hypergamy isn't helping. The highest value man isn't helping. So what is it? What is it? It reminds me of the time when I was studying about the gold rush. 1849, I think. People were rushing over to California, panning for gold. Everybody was trying to look for the mother lode. And guess what? It was never found. But here's the thing. All those men that were panning for gold, they were going to call it quits. And you and I both know that's bullshit. They weren't going to stop. No matter how much gold they pulled out of those mountains, no matter how many mountains they destroyed, no matter how many fucking fields that they fucked over, it still wasn't enough. So trust me when I say this. They were mining for gold. They were just digging for fucking gold. Was there hypergamy back then for the gold miner? No. It was just fucking mining for gold. Looking for the next best thing. Trying to do the next best thing. But there was no ceiling. Same thing with hypergamy. There is no ceiling, ergo there is no hypergamy. Because in like the definition is very clear.
the definition, it states that somebody who's attracted to people of high value. Well, guess what? They still cheat on those fucking people with people with low value. So there's no such thing. It's invisible. These people are just fucking deranged. They're deluded. They're addicted to sex. Same thing with Andrew Tate. He became successful, and guess what? He still fucking brings chicks over to his house. Why? Because he's still fucking... He managed to be a high-functioning addict. He managed to figure out a way how to make money so he can get more pussy. That was it. These people are just high-functioning addicts. Trying to get more money, more money, more money. You know the way that I see these fucking gold diggers? Okay, remember when we all went to school and we all had that school project and there was like that one fucking guy in our group or the person in our group who was just very personable, very caring, very charismatic, and they never did a fucking thing? And they put their name on the paper and we let them because we thought they were cool, because they could carry on a conversation. That's all they did throughout the whole fucking project. And they did it out of fucking their necessity, too. You could hear it in their speech. You could hear it in what they say and what they do. You can hear it in them. They desperately wanted to be liked. Because they knew that they needed that grade, and they knew that they couldn't do the work. Or at least didn't want to do the work. That's exactly what these women are doing. Fucking leeches. Trying to fucking piggyback off of somebody else's success. Remember that. This is what I'm teaching you is no different than what I taught you before. Narcissistic supply is no different than these women craving for validation. It's the same fucking thing. They're just different terms, but they have the exact same outcome. Women that require validation is no different than a fucking narcissist seeking supply. And they always need fresh supply. Because the old supply gets stale, it's stagnant. It's only good for one small hit. Having a new identity, a new person, a new this, it's like an adrenaline rush to them. But both validation and narcissistic supply describe the exact same fucking thing. So that's what I'm trying to show you. Is that the very people that we call hypergamous in nature are no different than the fucking cheaters that used to fucking sit there and do nothing in our school projects. Just sit there and have us hold their hand throughout the whole fucking thing while they did nothing. And guess what? They'd get the grade, and then they'd move on. There was no reason for them to maintain the relationship anymore, because we had nothing of value to give them anymore. They got what they wanted, and they were gone. Something to think about. Guard your heart.